This week's episode is brought...
I won't do it again, I promise.
This week's episode is brought to you by... God damn it, I hate you. This week's episode is brought to you by the preseason being over. Bring on actual football.
No, Steve, god damn it.
What?
That's the other one. This one's about guitars.
Oh, shit.
Still glitching around. You haven't like frozen, but you're still glitching around. So yeah. I'm wondering if my phone's a piece of shit.
Maybe.
What do you think?
I mean, you're pixelated, but you're not freezing.
You're pixelated, but you were like, and so I don't know. Like I can, the audio feed hasn't been interrupted though, so I'm more confident in that. So
yeah,
at least there's that.
I mean, you are also in a basement, so without Wi-Fi, you're still in a basement. So. That's a thing.
You'll say that.
Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I am your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
Yeah.
Got that intro right.
yeah.
It's
almost like you've done it before.
I know, right? So this week, we're going to talk about Kevin Wentz on Nathaniel Rateliff, and then we're going to talk about the best albums from August of 2019. But first...
Year of Our Lord.
The Year of Our Lord, 2019. But before we do that, though, Unbearable, our football podcast, is out now. First episode. We wrap up the preseason. We just recorded it. It'll go up before this. Please go listen to it. We like football. We like people listening. This one's mostly about the Bears because we don't pay attention to preseason that much, so we're just kind of talking about our team. But we will talk about other teams in the future.
And yes, if you want as to. The season progresses, I pledge this to you, listener, that's funny, listeners, I love football, and I will be watching all of it, so I'll have opinions.
Exactly. But yeah, so before we get into the albums, Nathaniel Rateliff you say?
Yes, so I saw Nathaniel Rateliff, it was at the Rust Belt, which is Mueller's place in East Moline, the new one.
Oh,
that,
the new
like,
big one?
Is all the shit is going there. So, really cool place. Really goddamn packed. So that was a pain in the ass. I was sweating like a motherfucker and just fighting through people. So, like, that really sucked. The beers were more expensive. It was like going to a fucking baseball game or a hockey game prices. So that sucked. So it's kind of, it's more disappointing that like that shit exists, just compared to Raccoon Motel, which was so fucking great.
Yeah.
But the venue is pretty cool. Like it's a warehouse thing, so it's like really long and skinny. But they have the
like
all
my
the
wiener.
Walls. Yeah. Well, all the walls are painted black, so it's got
like
really. Yeah. Exactly. The best thing I can say about this venue is like Steve's wiener. Oh. But no, I mean, Nathaniel Rateliff's incredible always, so that was still good. But I was a little disappointed that, just thinking about being at that location instead of going... I mean, granted, he wouldn't play Raccoon Motel anyway because they're too big. But it was just, I don't know. It was different. I'm sad that Raccoon Motel is no longer... giving me shows, because that's lame. And we had to drive across the bridge, which is also lame.
Yeah.
But they were good, so there's that.
Yeah. Was that like his kind of Codfish Hollow thing, or was that just a completely different concert that he came in for? Because, I know he does that like all-day Codfish Festival.
Oh, yeah, no, so the Garp Fest, which is the one that he used to do, he's not doing that one this year, so I think this is just a way of coming through the Quad Cities. And so there were like five openers. I only saw one before he went on because like they started at like 5 p.m. and we were busy doing shit. So there was that. But yeah, So the other thing that's really cool about Rust Belt is it's directly connected to a brewery. So that is also kind of cool. Oh,
nice.
So
that's awesome.
So again, there's pros and cons all over the place. I bet you'll come out and see a show there.
Yeah.
But it's a cool place, but, I also miss Raccoon Motel, but also love seeing Nathaniel Rateliff.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so albums that came out last month, because it is now September in the year of our Lord 2019.
Holy shit!
I know, I can't believe 2019 is almost fucking over. Summer flew by. It's insane how fast it went.
Honestly, this just fucking year has been flying.
I know, it's insane.
I can't believe it. I'm not too upset, though, because... football.
I know. I'm so excited for fall. I'm so excited for fall. Yeah. I love it.
God, fall's so great. I've been looking out my window at work, and the leaves are changing, very slightly. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Very slightly. However, there is a little bit of color, and I'm just like, yes, that's my shit. Let's go.
I know. I can't fucking wait for hoodie weather and shit.
Dude.
Yeah. At the Arboretum, they have this pumpkin lights show kind of thing planned for October. I'm like, I can't wait just to be in a hoodie, walk around looking at fucking Halloween lights. I love it.
Yes, absolutely. Having a hoodie on is great because you just can wear a couple different hoodies and then you've just got every outfit you've ever needed for every day.
Exactly.
That's really what I dig about it.
Yeah, I have 40 fucking hoodies, and it's just which ones am I going to wear in my jeans today?
But, exactly. Okay. Jeans and hoodie. Simple.
Exactly. Oh, my favorite. My favorite. But yeah, so anyway, let's just hop right into the albums. There was 18 that came out this month. We're going to talk about 8 briefly that were good, but we don't really know too much about, and then we're going to hop into 10 that I really liked everyone should give it. Well, you should go listen to all 18, but... the 10 big ones are. And we're not ranking them this month because, honestly, there's 5 that tied for number 1 for me. So it was kind of hard to want to rank them all. So.
Yeah. And, ranking shit every single month, fuck it. We'll rank shit later.
Yeah. We're talking about albums we like. They don't have to be ranked because they're all different. Because it's also if you rank, Whiskey Myers versus... Old Crow Medicine Show, they're very different. You can't really rank them against each other. They're both subgenres of country music. But, yeah, so anyway, first up is The Royal Hounds, Low Class Songs for High Class People. We briefly mentioned all these on previous episodes, but this one, it's a very kind of 60s, doo-wop-ish sounding rock music. I really dig it, and it's worth checking
60s
out.
Doo-wop Joel sucks. Play something from The Stranger.
Oh, what a fucking movie. That's 2 weeks in a row we've quoted Step Brothers on this podcast.
And they're all organic drops. Just, it made sense. Dropping it in there.
So funny. Anyway, it's really good. Worth checking out. Let's check it out. Next is Rodney Crowell's Texas. It's very traditional Texas country. It's I think Randy Rogers is on one of the tracks or something. So
Rodgers.
It's good. Even though there's no D in that Rogers.
But, no, every Rodgers has Rodgers. Rodgers.
True. 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 Anyway, next up, Tracy Lawrence's Made in America. Sounds very traditional, Tracy Lawrence, so it's worth checking out. He doesn't try selling out or anything.
Hell yeah.
Michael nice. Austin's The Good Life. It's a contemporary one. He has one track I'm not a big fan of, but overall, it's definitely worth checking out. It's a good country. It's kind of one of those, let loose on a Saturday type ones where it's never really a serious album. It's just a really enjoyable southern kind of party,
sure,
bro-ish kind,
sure,
of,
but keeps it, but if you keep the keeping the sound country,
snap tracks or anything on it,
yeah, absolutely.
Next is Exile, the Garage Tapes. It's like a 30 track thing. I don't know if it's just a bunch of demos or some shit, but it's a cool album. They're kind of rocky. Then Tanya Tucker's While I'm Living. It's classic Tanya Tucker. I don't listen to her too much, but she's good. She's a traditional country artist, so
yeah, absolutely. I haven't listened to this one either. Well, I haven't listened to this one. You have listened to this one. But I would be willing to say that I would probably like it better than a lot of shit that has been released this year that is famous.
Yeah, sorry. Megan walked in. Next is Leslie Stevens Sinner. She's a very kind of hippie-ish, folky type artist. She's good. And then, I'm going to fuck it up again. Esther Rose. I did it.
Esther.
You made it this far. Another really good, she's very folky and Americana sounding. Nice. Those are eight, definitely worth listening to, but getting to the 10 that we definitely listened to a little more. Well, you listened to half of them or so.
Yeah, half.
So this one, I'm obviously you people won't hear. You'll hear the actual clips I put in, but
what do you mean, you people?
We'll cut between because I'm going to play some of them for Kevin. First up is American Young soundtrack of your life. So that's them. They're a little contemporary on some of their tracks, but I like it because even though it's that contemporary sound, it's still actual instruments. It never jumps into the fucking computerized.
Exactly. It sounds as though they are all playing their instruments while they meet up together to praise Jesus.
Yeah, so you guys didn't hear that because it was while I was pulling up their music, but I was just like, I'm not going to lie, it just sounds like Christian rock.
Yeah, it straight up sounded like Christian rock. I'm hearing it secondhand through the speakers and shit, but I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, it's definitely the most contemporary of the ones on here, but I think it's worth listen to. Next up is Dalton Domino's Songs from the Exile. I love burns when the night grows cold, we're on wine, so kiss me and cigarette smoke. I'm with you, I know who I'm meant to be. You can't feel touch, it's ringing sweet. We're sparkling kerosene. I'll keep you out if you keep close to me.
My man.
Obviously, take our opinions with a grain of salt because we do chat with him every once in a while, and you know we've talked to him on occasion. But
I'm a really big fan.
But granted, it was after we had been listening to his music for years. It's just he reached out and awesome, and he's awesome. But that doesn't change the opinion of this album is fantastic. It's so fucking good. It's probably his best one so far. It's really fucking good.
I was absolutely hooked from the first song, and I was blown away by by the songwriting. Obviously, the music's great too. The thing I thought was hilarious too, though, was when he was on social media just like promoting it, and he was just like, "Let's get sad," and he's just like, link his album, and I was just like, "Hey, that's great."
Yeah.
So, because as a fellow sad boy. Really big fan of the all of the sad songs on that album, all the feels that you feel when you listen to that album. It's incredible. It really is.
Yeah. Next up is Vince Gill's Okey. Oh, I'm lost in a world without a hacker.
Oh, I'm lost
I thought I would never see.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't listen to this whole album. I saw that it was, you know, quote.
How
dare you? It was quote unquote controversial because I guess he had like some gun song or something like, and it's just like, all right.
How dare he like, have an opinion and let me know about it?
Yeah. But honestly, it's either way, he's still a country artist, and his song A World Without Haggard, I think is what it's called, is fucking amazing. Mm. So.
And Vince Gill is one of the greatest guitar players that no one really knows about.
I know.
You know? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think I told this on the podcast, but there was the time when we were watching, I don't know, the CMAs were on, and it was obviously a while ago because I haven't watched those in years, but I was with Chris, mm-hmm. and they gave like a Lifetime Achievement Award or something to Vince Gill, and I was like, oh, it's so sad that so many people watching this probably don't even know who this is getting this achievement, and Chris just goes, I don't know who that is. I'm like, oh my God. Fucking.
I would expect nothing less.
Yeah. Anyway, next up is Midland's Let It Roll.
Every song's a drinking song when you're drinking. Bows been slow, they all go good when you're buzzed. You don't have to wait on cash if you're just here to get trashed. Every song's a drinking song when you're drinking. And all the jukebox, it ain't choosing.
Yeah, so that's their album. Yeah, I mean, we've definitely been critical of Midland, but that's more of just the fakeness behind the actual band rather than the music itself. Their music has always been super country, and it's super well done. It's just themselves
yes.
I don't care for. But the album itself is
exactly.
really good.
Absolutely. And that's how it's a funny thing to struggle with when you're like, I don't really like these dudes as dudes, but I really like what they're making.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep listening to them, but I probably won't go see them in concert ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. Because hashtag Luke is Midland. So.
Exactly.
But yeah, the. Yeah, that's the exact thing. If they're not a band I ever have gone out of my way to listen to, but if a song by them comes on, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, turn this shit off. It's like, no, this is good country music. Like,
I was driving to a friend's house the other day.
You don't
and
have friends.
Exactly. I was driving into the cornfield the other day, and I had my windows down and just playing music, and Drinking Problem came on, and it was the perfect song to listen to while ripping through all of those corn stalks by myself, and I was like, yeah, this is great.
And you're like, fuck you, Farmer John. Eat my dick.
I'll show you what a drought is, bitch.
Yeah. Anyway, next up is Jason Hawk Harris's Love in the Dark.
It's what I do when the daylight beats me down. It's what I do every time I see you walking around. I've been cussing at the light. I can't wait until it's night when I can medicate this beat down heart of mine. This heart.
This album fucking
it's so
got
good.
Me.
It's so good. Hey, Jason, if you're listening, what the hell happened to your first EP? It was so good, and it's not on any of the streaming sites anymore.
Like, but for real, this is probably, I mean, I gotta go back through to be able to really do a ranking, but like, right now, in my heart, this is like top five of the year for me. Like, I really, really enjoyed this album.
It's absolutely fantastic. There wasn't a song on here I didn't like. I was listening to it when I was out on a walk the other day. I walked, 5 miles or whatever, and I literally listened to it twice before I switched to other music. I was like, this is, it's so good. I love it, and Jason Hawk Harris is someone that everyone should know. He's definitely a kind of a,
yes.
No offense to him, obviously, but he's a relatively unknown, I guess, in comparison to others. And,
but let's fix that shit.
Yeah, yeah. But like we said, if the only goal of this podcast is to give an artist even one more fan, so please be that one more fan for him, because his music
yes.
is amazing and it deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Next up is Lily Mae's Other Girls.
Now you've got other girls for that.
So that's Lily Mae. She kind of actually reminds me, one of her songs, I think it's the first track on the album, it actually kind of reminds me of like Led Zeppelin in a way. Like, it's that kind of old hippie rock type sound. And
sure.
I really enjoy that sound about her music. And yeah, she's fantastic. You said you've seen her in concert, right?
Yes, I saw her at Raccoon Motel, and she was very good. It was actually really cool, too, because like her family was there, but like also her brother was playing guitar in the band, and then she brought her dad on stage and he played bass. But then it was really annoying because her dad was like the kind that only played like the same three notes, just a beep, 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 beep. And I was like, all right, come on, man, let's chill. Especially because her like the kids were so fucking talented. Like, she could play a bunch of different instruments, could sing real good. The brother could sing real good and play a bunch of instruments. And then the dad was just, you know, fucking picking a little bit of bass. And they're just like, yeah, dad. I'm like, no. But no, she was great. So I am not surprised at all to find out that album's great.
Yeah. Yeah, so next up, I'm going to fuck her name up. Eileen? I don't know. Eileen.
Come on, Eileen!
Eileen Jules Gypsy. I think it's Island because it's E-I-L-E-N. I thought it was Eileen. I thought there were two E's at the end, but it's just one E. So I think it's Island. Elin, maybe? I don't know. I think
could Island. Be Elin. I feel like I've heard of a person named Elin before. Or was that Tiger Woods' ex-wife's name? Or was it slightly different?
No, this is her. She has a song that says, fuck you, Tiger.
You're telling me that Swedish whatever the fuck Elin something 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 Woods?
I don't know. Well, yeah, because she has a song called Witness.
Shit.
It's
is
about,
that her?
It's about,
oh, I'm just going to piss me off. I can't figure this out.
She's got Hard Times. It's about when Tiger dumped her and she went on Hard Times. And she's got Working Hard for Your Love because you had
and then
to
she
to
chased
hard,
him
so
around with
her.
A golf club and...
And she's
chasing
got 79
him around
cents
with a golf club and beating his car.
Yeah, that's what the song Beat the Drum is. She called his car the drum.
Exactly. God damn it.
But no, she's incredibly talented. It's a very old school, like, Patsy Cline-ish sound. And it's, yeah, it's phenomenal. And it's worth definitely.
Yeah, no, I dig that for sure.
The one that I'll probably put in here, that's the one that I played for you with the really awesome, like, steel or slide. It's You Cared Enough to Lie, where it's like, even if you didn't care about me, you cared enough to lie. And so it's like a really, really cool kind of, you know, song like that. But yeah, so that's Eileen, Jewel. Next
nice.
Up is Mike Moonpie and the Moonpies, Cheap Silver and Solid Country Gold.
But you look good in neon. Give me your last cigarette, and when it's closing time and the lights come.
Mike Moon Pie and the Moon Pies album, Moon Pie. first single, Moon Pie. No, I absolutely loved this. And so I said it a bit when we first talked about this album when it came out. Mike and the Moon Pies is on a fucking heater going from Steak Night to this, even though this is just an EP and, you know, it's not like two full albums. But the chunk of music that they've released in the last 2 years is really good. Like, really, really good.
Yeah.
Big fan.
This one definitely blew me away. When I saw them in Yorkville just a couple months ago, they played a couple from this album, and I was just like, well, can't wait for this one to drop, so.
That's always, like, the best and worst feeling at the same time, when you're like, I know that this song is going to get released soon, but now that I know that it exists, I have to wait for it, and that's bullshit.
Unlike that one time when we saw Craig Campbell, and he's like, oh, I'm going to play a new song for you, and he never released it. And
then he never released it, and it was incredible, and he never released it. What did he do? He took his hat off and went down the wrong road.
Exactly. But yeah, who's not going down the wrong road is Mike and the Moon Pies, because this
God
is
damn right. Amazing.
They're
so good.
Next up is one that I'm pretty sure this guy's related to me because we look the same. Is Tyler Childers, Country Squire.
Dude is bad, and he should feel bad. No.
Goddamn gingers.
Obviously, we talked about this when it came out, because I am a crazy person who is obsessed with things, and so I loved it. It's like a little shorter than you'd think. Like, it's only nine songs. But he's just got such a great sound to him that it's... I really enjoy everything that he records. Just, you know, kind of like the way that, you know, you'd say, like, oh, you know, George Strait could do no wrong. Everything he does just sounds like, it's even if it's a song that's like, you know, whatever, it just sounds good. You're just like, I love that sound. That's how I feel about Childers. I love it. I think I still like Purgatory better as an album, both because of the fact that I heard it all at once when Purgatory came out, whereas this one I heard a couple pre-singles and then, you know, all that good stuff. But still great. I still love it. I don't know how the world feels, but I think he's still blowing up, so that's exciting.
Yeah, well, it's like we said, Rogan fucking talked about him on Instagram, so you know he's getting the notoriety.
And, oh, yeah.
Even though today he had that super, I don't know, if I went on Twitter for like 10 seconds for some reason, and he had this douchey-ass tweet he sent out where he's just like, I'll never play your fucking wedding, so don't ever ask me. And everyone's just like, wow, dude, sorry that people want you to play their wedding. Sorry that they like you.
I don't honestly see that as douchey at all. I think it's fucking
it's the way he worded
dickish.
It. It's the way he worded it.
Well, I don't know. I think it's really dickish of someone to be like, hey, man, you're touring 300 days out of the year. How would you like to play my wedding for way reduced price from what you'd make from doing your actual job?
Well, I understand that, but it's the way he worded it. It's just like, I didn't even do this when I, like, needed the money. And it's just like, all right, dude, like, we get it. And some, a couple artists actually commented on, like, wow, that's kind of an asshole thing to say. It's like, all right, well. I don't know. I thought it was douchey. But his music is, yeah, it's phenomenal. I'm not hating on that at all. That's for sure. But finally is...
But. It's about butts.
But. Yes.
It's just this butts.
This is butts. Butt.
Ballad of the Butts. In G minor.
Actually, it's Butte. It's Butt Butte. but anyway, next is probably my favorite, actually, of the month. surprisingly, is Cliff Cody's A Mess Like Me.
Let's make the memories that will carry me through the cold winter nights. Let's try not to think what tomorrow brings. Wrong could never feel so right. Baby, you can be sure this is more than just a summertime fling.
Yeah, this album, when I first heard it, like, the first song is, like, too country, and it's one of those where it's, like, kind of the protest, like, oh, is this too country for you? Like, kind of thing. And at first I was like, well, this sounds good, but that kind of makes me roll my eyes. But then he moves on to some that are actually really deep that I really like, the one I played for you, Summertime Fling. It's about, like, I don't know what people are telling you, but this is not a summertime fling. Like, I am in it, like, kind of thing. And it's
too in it.
Yeah, mermaid puss.
yeah, Morty. Someone have mermaid puss.
Yeah, but no, it's just a straight traditional album. It's kind of Aaron Lewis-y in a sound. It's a little Cody West. It has that kind of rockiness to it. Yeah, I don't know.
Nice.
I dig it.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that I did actually listen to a little bit of that, though, because I recognized the first bit. And then I started not remembering, but I was like, I swear I've heard this before.
First one I played for you was Damn Your Memory, was the song I played by.
Yeah. Damn My Memory and its inability to remember things.
Exactly. But yeah, so that's the albums of this month that you should be listening to. 18 of them. All
pretty
really
solid.
Good.
Pretty solid month.
Yeah. Last month it was only like 8 or 9 that came out, so it was definitely a lot harder to make a list. But
I wonder how I wonder what parts of the year, you know, people shoot for releases, because, like, I mean, you know, with, like, movies, they try to have them released at certain times of the year, because,
like, early,
you know,
summer.
They think, yeah, early summer, or you go into, like, the holidays, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of shit, or, like, if you're doing Oscar bait and you just, you know, release it in the winter.
Well, I'm
just
an
be
Oscar
like, well,
bait.
The people, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But no, I think it was a really good month. Pretty fucking neat.
Especially when the month started with, on this same day, Mike Moonpie and the Moonpies and Tyler Childers on the same day.
Like, yeah, that was pretty great.
That's a pretty big.
That was pretty great.
Pretty big.
And then this rest of the year, I don't really know how many albums are coming out, but I do know Cody Jinx is coming out.
I was going to say,
October.
Cindy Jonks has one. Isn't Ward Davis having one come out this year, too?
Does he?
I can't remember.
That would be sweet.
I can't remember.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know. The high woman come out. They come out this Friday. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. Yeah. Pretty solid month. Well done, August.
Word. Yeah. So moving on to the number one country song of the week, but not from this year because this year's terrible. Is Hello, Max. The kitty just
pushed Hello?
Kitty just pushed the door open. Is one, I mean, I like the Phil Vassar version better because he wrote it. But it's Jody Messina's I'm All Right, which was number one from August 22nd to September 5th of 1998.
Been singing for my rent and singing for my supper. I'm above the below and below the upper. I'm stuck in the middle where money gets tight, but I guess I'm doing all right. It's a beautiful day, not a cloud in sight, so I guess I'm doing all right. Oh, 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 I'm all right. I got a good old friend here with me tonight, and I guess I'm doing all right.
So you're talking about the song that the gopher dances to in Caddyshack?
I'm all right. Oh, my baby.
That was the first thing that popped in my head, though, when you said it.
Yeah. But no, obviously it's the, I'm all right. Like, the first time I heard it was actually on Phil Vassar's Greatest Hits, so that's how I always know it. But I do know it's Jody Messina that made it popular. It wasn't Phil Vassar.
Yep, I do recall hearing it on the radio back in the radio times mm-hmm. when I would listen to the radio. And like this whole segment is about, it is now so bad to listen to the radio that I cannot physically do it.
And also 98, that was 21 years ago.
Don't you put that knowledge on me. I, myself, am only 18, so that's impossible.
Yeah, you were born to this song.
brush my teeth to that shit.
Brush my teeth to that shit. But yeah, it's a fantastic song. It's just about, you know, that you're not living too big, you're not living below your means or above your means. You're just kind of right there, and you're all right. And it's good as is. And it's just a good song.
Yep. Absolutely. It's fun.
Yeah.
Fun, good, fun. Aw, yeah.
Anyway, moving on. What do you listen to, watching, doing, seeing,
sleeping? Honestly, the Jason Hawk Harris album. Jason Hawk Harris album, fucking incredible. I spun that a million times. I listened to Dalton Domino several times over. And then I caught up on The Good Place in terms of what was on Netflix. So
oh, season three? Yeah.
Yep.
It's so good. I love it. I love that show so much.
Oh, yeah.
Season four is the final season, too, so they're not going to drag it out, which is great.
Oh, shit. That's probably best, because there was a part of me that, I mean, I'm not going to spoiler it up, but there was a part of me that as this season came to a close, I'm like, okay, they're really starting to hit a point where you can't keep this up mm-hmm. forever.
Exactly.
It's going to get annoying. So, yeah, I think that's smart. Nice.
Yeah. It makes me sad, but it
what
is
What about...
It is good. Actually, I started, since I have Showtime on my Hulu, I started watching Ray Donovan. The show's so fucking good. I love it. It's so good. It's definitely one you should
I have not watched that show.
It's awesome.
But I've heard a lot of people talk about it. What is going on? Jesus fucking Christ.
It's a... While you're figuring out what's going on with your phone, it's a show about, it's Liev Schreiber, and he's a fixer for people in Hollywood, where he goes around just fixing all their problems and making them go away, and it's just, it's awesome. It's so good, and everyone should watch it.
Kevin's oh, it was just fucking the group Snapchat thing. Jake's at a Kiss concert. And it's just a concert for people making out. He's fucking sent it to the group. And then, of course, everyone had to respond and fucking make my little notification thing on the top of my phone go apeshit. And not a fan.
Yeah. But, yeah, I was watching Ray Donovan. I started watching Death Note again because, yeah,
it's great.
It's great. I think that's all I was watching.
I watched all of the dubbed One Punch Man. I have no more dub available to me, so
yeah, I still
not about to subtitle it.
Yeah, fuck that. I still haven't finished it. I need to though. But yeah, so that's all I'm doing right now. yeah.
So that's all I have to live for. What?
Exactly. My life is over. Anyway, you can find us at countryhodgepodge.com on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Existence is pain.
Spotify, you can find Hodge Podcast Picks, where we add the songs you should listen to. Also, Kevin's Picks of the Week, which is on the website, or we tweet it, or it's if you search the username Donkey Factory on Spotify, you can find it. Also, we got This Month in Country, where we add all the albums that come out each year, or each year, in the month, and they all get out of that, and then once the month is over, they get moved over to 2019 in Country, where you can listen to every album that's come out this year so far. There's a lot. There's a lot of music. You can find our shirts on a link through the site. The other White Claw countries haven't been taken down yet, so hop on that shit. Fuck Nashville, obviously, up there. Walker Hayes Blows. Some other
he
great,
does.
Some
just
other great
fact.
Ones. That's on a link through the site, or if you go to TeePublic and just search Country Hodgepodge or whatever. Then also, Kevin's on Twitter at CHP_Church, where he's going to be talking a lot about Bears football, because that is out now, soon.
Aww, yeah.
Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. We're also on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Spotify now, which is awesome. I don't know if you can review things on Spotify. I actually have no idea. I don't think you can, but if you can, do it, please.
I got no idea.
We already have Spotify subscribers, which is kind of cool. So thank you to those who have found us on Spotify, if you're listening from there. Also, as I said at the start of the episode, Unbearable has just dropped. It's still not on iTunes. I don't know why, but it's on Spotify and pretty much every other fucking sound podcast app. It hasn't been approved for iTunes yet for some fucking reason. But yeah,
racism.
So you can find, so go to Spotify. That's what most people use anyway. And you can find it there where we talk about the preseason and our predictions for how the season's going to go for the NFC North.
We'll get very dig upable predictions and things in case we are so wrong about so many things.
Which
so,
we will just, find out at the end of the season. Yes. If we were.
Exactly. So just keep that on your radar.
Yeah. That's it for this week. Next week we're going to be talking about Sam Hunt. So stay tuned for that. But until next week, I'm Steve Hodge. As always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.